is in 200 countries around the world. In fact, they sell Coke in 200 countries. And that's a subliminal message to you, if you can figure that out. Child Evangelism Fellowship is in many countries around the world. And God is doing great things. So thank you for praying for the ministry. Thank you for your involvement in the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. Because it takes people. It takes volunteers who are willing to go out and reach the children with the good news of the gospel. Last year, we reached almost 20 million children worldwide with the gospel. And that's a God thing. That's not something that we do. It's what God does as he works through his Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of people. So again, thank you for your prayers, and thank you for the ministry that you do here. God has been faithful over the last 100 years. And I know that until he returns, God will continue to be faithful as you are faithful to reach out into this community and even around the world. So before we begin, before I get into the message this morning, let's just bow for a word of prayer and just commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you again for your faithfulness. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who works in our hearts, works in our lives, and Father, leads us and guides us. Father, you are so faithful. Father, I do pray this morning as we open up your word, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would teach us what you would have us to learn. And Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, as we reflect on the 100 years that you have given to this church, and we reflect on the future, I pray that you would help us to stand firm. Father, that you would help us to stay focused. And Father, ultimately, that you would receive the glory and the honor and the praise for all that is said and done today. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I wanted to share a message with you. And before I actually give you the title, some of you, when I give you the title, are going to say, oh, what's this all about? But my message this morning, or the title of my message, is The True Charismatic Church. Now, I know when some of you hear that, you might have certain thoughts. But today, we're going to be talking about what the true charismatic church looks like. And I hope that by the end of the message today, that your idea of what a charismatic church is one that is biblically founded, that is rooted in the Word of God. In fact, I came across an interesting poem by a 9-year-old boy named Alexander. He was obviously a very precocious young man, but the title of his poem was entitled, If I Were in Charge of the World. Listen and see if you can relate to this poem. He said this, if I were in charge of the world, I'd cancel oatmeal, Monday mornings, and allergy shots. If I were in charge of the world, there would be brighter nightlights and healthier hamsters. If I were in charge of the world, there would be basketball goals 5 feet high. If I were in charge of the world, you wouldn't have lonely. You wouldn't have clean. In fact, you wouldn't have bedtime, and you wouldn't have don't punch your sister. In fact, you wouldn't have sisters at all. If I were in charge of the world, a chocolate chip sundae with whipped cream and nuts would be a vegetable. All movies would be rated G, and a person who sometimes forgot to brush, sometimes forgot to flush, would still be allowed to be in charge of the world. You know, I thought that was cute as I looked at that. But I think if I were in charge of the world, I would change people's ideas and concept of what the church looks like. Again, this church, South Mountain Bible Church, has been here for 100 years. God has been faithful to this church. And there is a reason that God has been faithful to South Mountain Bible Church. And I'm going to share that with you this morning. And so today, as I approach the message on the church, again, forgetting everything that you knew about the church, and open our minds, and maybe some of you this morning, this is nothing new, but it is a good reminder for us to keep our focus on what God has put us here on planet Earth to do. And so again, we're going to be talking about the true charismatic church. Now, if I ask you the question, do you want South Mountain Bible Church to be a charismatic church? Some people would say, well, absolutely not. Because a charismatic church is a church that, by today's standards, is a church that talks about healing wine, speaks in tongues, or gets slain in the spirit. But the true charismatic church that I'm talking about this morning is nothing like that. Again, I think people over the years, and in fact in the 20th and 21st century, have used the word charismatic to mean something that the Bible doesn't even describe. It's not in the Word of God. Again, when some of you think of charismatic, you have ideas that come to your mind. And some people would ask me the question, now I attend Calvary Baptist Church in Altoona. And if people ask me, do you want Calvary Baptist Church to be a charismatic church? I would say, yes, I do. Do you want to be a charismatic Christian? And I would say, yes, most definitely, I want to be a charismatic Christian. But that's not how the word is used in today's standards, in today's world. But let's look at the meaning of the word, because I think the word has taken on some dual meanings over the years. And sometimes that word gets us into trouble. Let me give you an example, because there's other words in the English language that have changed their meaning, have changed what they mean. Here's an example, the word gay. Now, if I went to my office tomorrow and I visited my staff and I said to my staff, I'm feeling gay today, they'd probably look at me a little funny. But you know, when you look at the word and the historic meaning of the word, it means to feel happy, to feel light. But yet, today that word has almost canceled out its meaning because the meaning has changed. And I think that's the same thing with the charismatic word, the word charismatic. It's the same way. It is a good Bible word, but some people have used it for something else. Again, we have lost the true biblical meaning of the word. Again, it is the word that the Apostle Paul uses most often for spiritual gift. I want to direct your attention this morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles, and I think you have a note sheet there, a place to write down some notes, and I would encourage you to do that this morning, to take some notes. But I want you to notice, as I read Ephesians chapter 4, and that was the passage that was read earlier, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 7. Notice how many times the word gifts and the word grace is used in this passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. And this is what it says. But to each one of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in a train and gave them gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also had descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, when the Apostle Paul talks here about spiritual gifts or grace gifts in the New Testament, he talks about three words. There are three words that he uses to describe spiritual gifts. He uses the Greek word doma, which means gifts. He uses the word, the Greek word pneumatikos, where we get our word spirit, to mean spiritual gifts. But most often, the Apostle Paul uses the word charismata, which means grace in action. Again, if your name is Karen, the word, that's a word for grace, that's a root word for grace. Karen comes from charis. The word mata, as we look at the Greek word, means automatic. Charismatic means grace is working automatically by itself. And again, the kind of church that God blesses and the kind of church that God uses is a charismatic church in the true biblical sense of the word, or the true meaning of the word. Again, he is talking about spiritual gifts. And I think in many churches, and I'm happy to see as I'm sitting here, and this is, I think, the first service I've ever visited here with you all here at the South Mountain Bible Church. And I see people being involved in the local church, and that excites me. Because people are using the gifts that God has given to them. And that's why I think that God has been so faithful to the folks here at South Mountain Bible Church, is because you're using your gifts that God has given to you to build up the body. And so again, he's talking about spiritual gifts. And as I said, most Christians seem to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul wrote, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Again, Paul wrote to these Christians because they were ignorant about spiritual gifts. Again, hopefully by the end of the message this morning, we will have a biblical understanding of the gifts that God has given to us and what they mean in the body of Christ. So again, if you have your note paper in front of you, if you want to take some notes here, we're going to talk about point number one, the description of grace gifts or spiritual gifts. And as we think about that, the description to describe these, first of all, they are not talents. They are not natural talents. Notice three things about these gifts or spiritual gifts. Number one is, what are they? If you're a Christian, you are a gifted child. Again, some of you might be sitting in the pew this morning and thinking, I don't know if I have any gifts. You know, maybe when God was giving out gifts, you were hiding behind a door or something. I don't know. Whether or not, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, you are gifted. God has given you a gift to use in the church, in the body of Christ. Again, maybe sometimes we misunderstand what spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts, as I said, are not talents. Again, most people make the mistake of thinking that spiritual gifts are an ability to play the piano or to sing or speak publicly. Those are natural talents. Again, natural talents have nothing to do with spiritual gifts. And so we need to separate the two. For instance, Mikhail Baryshnikov was a talented dancer. Norman Rockwell was a talented painter. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was a talented composer. Those things come when these people are born. They're born with these and they're genetic. However, a spiritual gift comes when you are born again, when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and they're to be used in the church of Jesus Christ. They are not genetic. Again, when you think about talented people in the world, I remember Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was a basketball player. He was very talented. He was born talented. It was genetics. And of course, Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls for most of his career. And he was so good that when he decided to retire the first time, he had a statue of him put, the Chicago Bulls put a statue of him out in front of the Coliseum where they played in Chicago. Well, he took his turn at baseball and decided that wasn't for him, and so he came back into basketball and he took the number 45. And a lot of people ask, why did you take the number 45? And he said, well, you know what? I've made the number 23 famous. And I already have a statue of me out here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm not going to look at that statue anymore. I'm going to go in back of the building. And you know what? I'm going to make the number 45 so famous that they're going to put another statue of me on the back side of the building. And so he was that good and he could do that. And we think of LeBron James. LeBron James is a talented basketball player. But that is genetics. You are born with it. He could do that because he was talented also. And then we think about spiritual gifts. And a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability to minister. Again, I'm not talking about talent whatsoever. I'm talking about spiritual gifts, charismata. What is a spiritual gift? It is the supernatural ability to minister, as I said before. It's not something you do. It's something that God gives to each and every one of us. It's not for our enjoyment. It's for our employment. God wants you to use your spiritual gift in the body of Christ to build up the body of Christ. Look at, if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Again, Paul here is talking to the Corinthian believers, and he's writing about spiritual gifts or charismata. And he says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. All these, meaning these different ministries, are at work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them, meaning spiritual gifts, to each one just as he determines. That means that every single Christian on the face of the earth has at least one spiritual gift. Maybe even more than that. The problem with many churches is that you have a mentality where people who are gifted have the idea that God only gives spiritual gifts to people who grew up here on the platform. You know, gifts of speaking. You know, some people have that gift of preaching or whatever. But that's not what we're talking about here. God has given to each and every one of us a gift to use in the body of Christ. And again, they might not be speaking gifts, but nonetheless, he is giving us those gifts. I got a question for you, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. How many of you in the congregation this morning have been called to the ministry? Raise your hand. You've been called to the ministry. Now, I see here in the first couple rows, and I saw a couple other people who said that they're called to the ministry. I'm here to tell you this morning. Yes, they're called to full-time ministry, and they might be going overseas. They might be doing that as their vocation. But every one of us is called to full-time ministry. We're all called to full-time ministry, to serve the Lord. And so if I ask you the question again, how many here are called to full-time ministry? Raise your hands. That's right. Everyone here is called to full-time ministry. And I think over the years, my understanding of spiritual gifts has been growing as I understand it more and more. Again, I think God gives gifts to different people. And again, those different gifts put together in the body of Christ allow us to work together and to do great things in the kingdom of God. And again, sometimes it's a combination of gifts as they are needed in the body. And God knows what we need, doesn't he? He knows exactly what we need. Again, some gifts are speaking gifts. Some are preaching and teaching. But some gifts are what we call support gifts, like the gift of service or the gift of encouragement. You know, there are people in the body of Christ who have the gift just to encourage people. When you walk up to them, you know what? The first words out of their mouth is they're trying to encourage you. That's a spiritual gift that God has given to you that you can use in the body of Christ. Again, encouragement. The gift of service. Some people might not like to speak, but they're there. They're in the church. They might be working on the physical plant of the church. And they're there to serve also. All of these gifts work together in the body of Christ. You know, I had a local director some time ago who did not like to speak in public. That's difficult. And I remember one time he stood up and he said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Because that was not his spiritual gift. Now, he was good with a lot of other things, but speaking was not one of them. But one time at a retreat that we had, he gave his testimony. You know what? It blessed people. It really did. Now, again, that was not his natural gift, but he did it because God wanted him to do it. And so we all have those spiritual gifts that we can use in the body of Christ. Again, is the knowledge of electricity a spiritual gift? No, it's not. Again, you may have the knowledge of electricity, but you're not using it for God. Now, again, you could use it for God if you're going overseas or you're helping somebody wire up something, but it's not one of the spiritual gifts listed. Again, a spiritual gift is given by God. Again, maybe you can't preach like Billy Graham, or you can't teach a Sunday school lesson like some people can, but maybe you can bake a batch of cookies, take it to a neighbor who's lost, or a loved one. You can go to God's house and pray for people. You can be an encouragement to those who are hurting. Again, as I said before, encouragement is a spiritual gift. Again, you have, each and every one of you has a spiritual gift to be used in the body of Christ. And that means that when we're here at South Mountain Bible Church, and I know many of you, because God is faithful, many of you here are serving, and I just want to commend you for that. But maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and you just come on Sunday mornings. And all you do is come on Sunday mornings, you listen to the sermon, and you go back home again. You sit your bahuki in the pew, it's called your backside, and that's all you do. Again, you need to find out what your spiritual gift is, and you need to use it in the body of Christ. Now again, let's talk about the delivery of those spiritual gifts. Again, understand this, I am gifted. Again, where did that gift come from? Look at verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 4. Here Paul quotes Psalm 68. Again, he actually changes one of the words intentionally as he quotes this. He is talking about Jesus here. He says this, when he ascended on high, he led captives, or literally captivity, captives. And he gave gifts to men. And I say that he changed it because in Psalm 68:18, a picture of God, it says he received gifts from men. Again, here Paul says he gave gifts to men. Again, like a victorious general returning from battle, Jesus is generous in sharing his gifts. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is employing a very poignant picture here of every person in the first century who could visualize this. Again, we don't really have a picture of that too much today, unless you can remember VE Day or VJ Day. But Paul uses this picture of a Roman general returning from battle. Again, get this picture in your mind. He's entering Rome, and there's a parade, a procession, and he enters under the arch of triumph, and the victorious general is riding a beautiful chariot drawn by a white horse, a white steed. And what is behind him as he is riding into Rome? The Bible says there chained to the chariot would be the defeated general. Again, that's a picture of Satan defeated in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, which says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross of Jesus Christ. But this picture goes beyond that. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, because it says, he led the captives in a train. Again, in these Roman victory processions, the next in line directly behind the general would be the POWs. Those that had been captured by the enemy, and then those that were captured back by the general. And you know what? That's a picture of Jesus Christ, because he led the captives away from the enemy. He rescued the captives away from the enemy, Satan. And that's the picture that the Apostle Paul wants us to get. He is recapturing them, and he leads these former captives as they march behind him in place of honor, and the crowd cheers for them. Again, when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he led all souls that had been captive or that were captured by the devil, and he led them free as a part of a victory procession, as a march. Again, isn't it interesting as we look at this, when Jesus, or Christ, came into the world, He received gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when he ascended back into heaven, the Bible says that he gave gifts to men. And again, that's this, what this is a picture of. Here is the Roman general. He's conquered the land. He's looted the national treasure. He brought back the finest artwork, the finest gold and silver. And he brought back all of this back home. And what did he do with it? The victorious general would give all his booty away to his friends. Again, that's a picture of what Jesus is going, when he is going into heaven, he's saying to his children, here, I have some gifts. They are for you. And I want you to use those gifts in the body of Christ. I remember back in the 90s, there was a group, a rap group, called DC Talk. They had a song, and it talked about spiritual gifts and about using those gifts. And it sort of went like this. You got a gift and you best start using it. Because if you don't, you're going to wind up losing it. Just like the brother who buried it deep. The task was simple, but the price was steep. We got a mission while we're on this earth. We need to tell people about a second birth. Get busy like a schoolboy making an A. Because time, my brother, is ticking away. And time is ticking. And we need to use those gifts in the body of Christ and allow God to work through us in the body of Christ. Again, God gives us so many gifts. God gives us eternal life. And the Bible says that he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. But here, in this passage, he's talking about charismata. Again, these are special abilities that God gives to every member of the body to minister. Again, some of you might be sitting here this morning and saying to yourself, I believe all this, but I don't know what gift I have. I don't know how to use it in the body of Christ. I don't even know, I didn't know before that I even had a gift. Kind of reminds me of Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher in the 1800s, who went to visit a woman who, what we would call the poorhouse today. Here was a woman that had nothing, and she had asked the church for help. Because she needed food, and she needed heat. And so Charles Spurgeon visited her, and as he visited her and he prayed with her, he looked up on the wall, and he saw there some type of certificate that was framed. And he said, ma'am, what is that? And she said, I don't know. I was taking care of an elderly man, and he died, and he gave it to me. He said, can I take it and look at it and get it studied to see what it's all about? She said, sure, knock yourself out. That's probably not what she said. He took it, and what he found out was that this was his last will and testament. And he had given her all that he owned. Here was a woman that was living like a pauper, living in poverty, and yet she was rich and didn't know it. She had no idea. And the same is true in the body of Christ. There are people walking around, Christians walking around, that don't know that they have a spiritual gift, and they're not using it in the body of Christ. And that's a shame. It's also a shame that there are people who come to church who know that they have a spiritual gift, and yet they don't use it in the body of Christ. And then let's go on to the next one, the development of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us, the development of the spiritual gifts. Again, I hope that some of you come to understand that you have a spiritual gift and that you will discover the spiritual gift that God has given to you, and to use it in the body of Christ. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, look at verses 11 and 12. The Bible says something very important about these spiritual gifts. It even mentions four kinds of gifts. Look at verse 11. It says, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Again, gifted leaders are given to the body of Christ. Let's look at the first one, the apostles. Again, all these positions, these spiritual gifts he is talking about are gifts from God, that God gives to individuals. Again, that God gives these individuals to the local church. Again, they're a gift to the local church. Again, this morning, you might not believe it or not, but I am God's gift to you. Did you know that? Now, some of you might be sitting there saying, it's a gag gift. But that's okay. But did you know also that your pastor is God's gift to you? He is God's gift to you in the body of Christ. Again, and God uses these people as spiritual leaders in the church. But I think here, as we look at this and we read about the apostles, apostle means to send forth. And I think this is a picture of gifted leaders, but I think it's a picture of a missionary. Because does God send missionaries forth? Yes, he does. God sends missionaries forth around the world to reach people with the good news of the gospel. Again, I think missionaries, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a missionary, but I think missionaries are an important, intricate part of the body of Christ, both foreign missionaries and ones here stateside. They are leaders. The second one that he talks about, the second group that he mentions, when you think about a prophet in the Old Testament sense, you think about somebody who foretold the future. A prophetic Jeannie Dixon, if you will, type person in the world today, claiming to have a spiritual gift of prophecy. And again, I must remind you, that is running rampant today. And we need to be very careful of that. There's a new movement out there called the New Apostolic Reformation. And this New Apostolic Reformation is the charismatic movement on steroids. And we have to be very careful because, again, they're very convincing. And they say that this is in the Word of God, so we need to be very careful. But I think, as he talks about prophets here, that he's talking about not psychics, not people who try to foretell the future, but he's talking about those who preach the Word of God. Not necessarily a pastor, but those who preach God's word. They are forthtelling. They're telling what God has written in his word, what God has revealed in his word, and they speak publicly for Jesus Christ. They proclaim the good news. Then there is a third one, and this third category here is evangelists. And I thank God for gifted people with the gift of evangelism. There are two ways this gift can be used. Sometimes it can be used in a large group, like a Billy Graham or a Luis Palau or someone like that. Or it can be even one-on-one. We have a lady in our church that I would characterize as an evangelist because she is always thinking, she's always praying about how can I reach this person for Jesus Christ? In fact, one time she was doing a reverse mortgage. And she had a couple of fellas come over to sign papers, have her sign papers. You know what she was doing? She was trying to reach them for Christ. She said, thank you for coming over. Do you know the Lord? And of course, the one fella said, I don't know. So she proceeded to share the gospel. She led him to the Lord right there at the table. And then she said, how about you, sir? Do you know the Lord? And he goes, I'm not interested. And she looked at the other gentleman and said, you work on him. But that's the way she is. She's constantly, people call her on the phone. You have salespeople, telemarketers call her on the phone and say, would you like to buy this? And she goes, well, let me ask you a question first. Do you have a Bible? Do you know the Lord? And she has them all, but worked up after she's done with them. But again, she's faithfully sharing. She's an evangelist, sharing the Word of God. And some people have that gift that God has given to them to share the Word of God and not be shy about doing it. A lot of us would be fearful to do that, but she is not. And then number four, we have the pastor teacher. That's the fourth category here. God has given gifted people to the church, as I said before. He has given to you your pastor. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of the pastor in the local church? What is his role? His role, the role of a pastor, is to equip God's people to make sure that they have the right equipment to reach out to others. Again, that's why it says in verse 12, so that the ultimate goal is that the body of Christ may be built up. Again, I think there's a widespread misunderstanding in a lot of churches about how the church should function. And it's right here in verse 12. Again, as we see this in verse 12, it's misunderstood. There's a misconception about the pastor's role. A lot of times we'll call a pastor, and is it really us that's calling the pastor, or is it God that's calling the pastor? We have to think about that. Is it God or is it us? And a lot of times we have the idea, hey, we've called our pastor, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to support you in your ministry. And we're going to help you do your ministry. But that's not the way it should be. The pastor's role in the church is to equip the saints, to equip God's gifted people to do the work. And so if you're hiring the pastor, quote unquote, hiring the pastor as a hired gun, then that's a wrong view of the church. Again, each and every one of us is called to ministry in some area. And again, it's my job and it's your job to work in the ministry, and it's your pastor's job to motivate you to do that and to give you the tools that you need to reach out. That's why in some churches you have pastors that get so discouraged because they said, hey, pastor, why don't you do this? Pastor, why don't you do that? You know, sometimes you hear people come up to the pastor and say, you know, God has laid so-and-so on my heart. Could you go visit this person? And you know what I would say is that if I were a pastor, I'd say, excuse me, God laid them on your heart. Why don't you go visit them? It's your job. Again, remember, we're gifted people. And the pastor is there to equip you to do the work. Chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah says this, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And some people have this little attitude saying, please send somebody else. But Isaiah says this, he says, I will go. Here am I, Lord, send me. Again, we need to do the work of the ministry. We need to encourage the pastor. We need to give the pastor what he needs. But it's the pastor's job to encourage you to go out and do the work of the ministry. And I think for the last 100 years and God's faithfulness here at South Mountain Bible Church, I think that's been going on. The church has been doing that. And people are getting involved and people are exercising their gifts. And some people might think, I didn't realize I had a gift. And yet you do. And you need to use that in the body of Christ. We're all called to minister. And you know what? If the Lord tarries, we'll continue to do that. We'll continue to do that faithfully as God is faithful to us to do the work of the ministry. I want to conclude with this morning. In World War II, there was a cathedral outside London with a beautiful statue of Jesus standing with his hands extended during the Nazi Blitz. The statue and the cathedral were demolished during one of the battles. After the war, they rebuilt the cathedral. They even found many of the pieces of the crushed statue. It looked beyond repair, but they were able to put it back together. I am told that the statue still stands today. But you know what? It's missing hands. One thing they didn't put on it was the hands. But as I think about that, and I think about what is written on the statue. Again, they placed a plaque on the statue that reads, he has no hands but your hands. And that's true. Here at South Mountain Bible Church, as you think about God's faithfulness over the last 100 years, understand this. This is the body of Christ. And you know what? Each one has a role to play, is a member of that body. And has a part in that body, just like the body itself. Some are hands, some are feet. And you need to use those in the body of Christ. We need to understand this, that Jesus Christ, he is the head, we are the feet. This is the body of Christ, he is the head, and we are the mouth. And the body of Christ rises and moves and ministers when each and every one of us finds our place in the body. And uses your, again, here's the word, charismata, your spiritual gifts in the ministry of the church. And friends, this morning, that's the true charismatic church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for our time this morning and your word. And Lord, I thank you that your word is powerful. Lord, help us to, as a congregation, to take this to heart. And as we think about today, your faithfulness over these last 100 years, Father, we know we still have work to do. We have work to do until you return. Help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on the goal. Help us not to get distracted, because the enemy wants us to be distracted. And Lord, that ultimately you would receive the glory and the honor and the praise for all that you do through this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.